Welcome to Taking Notes, the Lotus Notes and Domino podcast. Here are your hosts, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaux.
Hi, and welcome to episode 35 of the Taking Notes podcast. Today is Thursday, November 9th, and we are here with our very special guest, Mike Roden. Hi, Mike. How are you doing today?
Hey, Bruce. How are you?
Good. For anyone who may not know, Mike Roden is the IBM General Manager for Workplace, Portal, and Collaboration Software. And this also makes him the General MC for Lotusphere, which is, of course, coming up real soon in January. Since we don't really ever have a chance to talk to someone this high up in the chain in the IBM organization, we're going to try to talk for as long as we can. If this goes a little long, we'll break it up into two segments for the listeners. We'll have to see how it goes.
All right. So do I get the first question, Bruce?
Julian, it's all yours.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Julian, how are you?
Hello, Mike. Great talking to you. Thank you so much for getting online with us today.
Sure, no problem. Maybe we should do this more often. If you can't get a hold of us, senior IBM execs more often, maybe we're not accessible enough.
Well, we just didn't even know to ask, I think. The first question, I think I'm going to throw you a softball, but it's more of a, in terms of an introduction, who you are and things like that. Now, I know that in a few months or right around now, you're coming up on, I think, your one-year anniversary as general manager. And, just in the last year or so, just kind of as an introduction or just to kind of throw some thoughts out there, do you feel like you've been able to do the things you wanted to do over the last year and also kind of what's your vision going forward?
Well, yeah, it is. Thank you for pointing that out. I have actually just passed my one-year anniversary. It happened over the summer. It's been an exciting year. I think those of you that were at Lotusphere last year saw, a little bit of a edgier approach coming from us in the market, a more aggressive approach. That's one of the hallmarks of what we've been trying to do here. And I think what I'm seeing back from the marketplace in response is that customers are getting excited about what we're doing. The technologies that we're building, the things we've announced, the things that we've been previewing are getting great response from customers, analysts, and the press. So I think from a job satisfaction viewpoint, that's what gets me up in the morning and gets me into the office bright and early, is that people are responding favorably to what we're doing. Team's excited. We got a lot of really cool stuff going on.
Bruce, I think you're going to start with Hanover then.
Yeah, let's talk Notes 8, or better known as, well, Hanover, better known now as, I guess, Notes 8. One of the big points of attraction with the new Hanover client is the flashy user interface. Looking back over the history of the Hanover demos and presentations, it almost seems like the user interface was designed before the actual technology was. Is that what really happened? Was it a UI-driven design process, Mike?
Well, it's exactly right. It's very astute of you to notice. When we announced Hanover, and the naming thing's been kind of fun to watch. There's been a lot of interesting barbs thrown around in the blogging world for the last couple months on, is it Hanover? Is it Notes 8? Is it what? It was always Notes 8. Right? Hanover just was the code name for the development project. Like most software companies, we tend to refer to things while we're developing them by a code name, and then as we get closer to release, we actually put the official name on it as we go forward. We do that to kind of distinguish between what's in the field and customers can use today versus what's coming. When we started looking at what to do next with Notes, right, we thought about it, and it was actually pretty obvious to us what we needed to do next with Notes. It was time for a facelift, right? We had spent the last few years really focusing in on the Domino server, making it the most scalable, robust, cross-platform collaboration server in the market. I think we did, when we shipped 8, we had fulfilled most of what we started out to do on that line, when we shipped 7, I'm sorry, and as we looked forward, it was very clear to us that the next turn of the crank here needed to be on the user interface. We've adopted an outside-in design approach so that we focus in on what the end user sees first. We design not only the look of the client from the outside in. We're also focused on the feel of the client from the outside in. And feel's really an important word here. That really gets into, you know, the gestural movements that you have to do to actually use the technology. How can we simplify the number of steps that you go through to get at important business information? How can things become more natural, right? One of the things in today's environment that our users have to deal with is that training costs are, it's the time they don't have for training anymore. So the more intuitive that we can make the user experience, the easier it is going to be to adopt the new technology. So that's been a major focus for us. Now, you know, while we're doing it, we're trying to make it the coolest, cleanest looking UI that we possibly can. But it doesn't simply stop at the UI. It has to include, you know, when you click here, what happens? How fast can you move from this part to that part? You know, when you see the composite nature of the UI with the various tools that are available in the user experience, how seamlessly do they integrate together? So when you see the same time contact list in the sidebar on Hanover, you know, how well does that integrate into the calendar and the notes mail experience. So that level of integration across the various capabilities within the client is part of the overall feel that people will, I think, come to know and love about Notes 8.
Okay. Well, and I guess I tend to come at this from the standpoint of a notes developer. I've been a developer for quite a while, and so I've got all these old notes applications that, you know, I'm always very excited that all of the old stuff is going to work with the new client and the new server. So that's great. We upgrade the server, we upgrade the clients, and I think my fear is that that I'm going to have these really ugly applications sitting next to these new beautiful Hanover kind of out of the box things. Now what kind of tools are going to be available for me to be able to take advantage of really this nice new look and feel capability from Hanover?
Well, a couple of things you said are important there, and I think it's important to reiterate, because there's been some confusion in the marketplace. I think somewhat fostered by our competitors that the applications weren't going to be supported, and nothing could be further from the truth. I've been pretty clear and on the record that all the existing applications are going forward. But we are continuing to extend the tooling and the programming models around it, right? I mean, you saw us in 7 start to extend the application so that you can expose the applications and the data as web services to make them consumable into new applications, both within the Notes platform and beyond. Most recently in the 7.02 release, just a few weeks ago, we've extended both the RSS capability off of the programming model as well as iCal off of the calendar, so that, you know, you can get to some of these newer look and feel kind of applications and leveraging all of the data you have in your existing applications. So whether or not you're accessing existing capability through new user experiences and new applications, you know, taking advantage of these new access points, or whether you want to reskin your applications. You know, a lot of what Hanover is about and same time 7.5 is about is they're both taking advantage of the capabilities of our new Expeditor client platform. Right? Expeditor provides a nice cross-platform, robust industry standard open source based framework for building client side applications that is inclusive of the Notes programming model, but also expands into, you know, the programming models of others, right? Whether it's Java, whether it's XML based programming, whether it's .NET programming, so that you can include .NET applications as a part of the composite experience that you have with Hanover. So part of what we're trying to do here from the app dev viewpoint is to create the widest possible set of programmers that can build applications as well as take advantage of existing applications within the new Notes 8 platform.
All right. On the web side of things, there is this big Ajax religion that's being preached from hilltop to hilltop in the development world. What kind of tools will we have as Notes, 8 developers to take advantage of that?
Well, there's as you know, I think you said it right, it's a religion, right? Ajax is something we've been doing for a long time at Lotus, right? I think if you look back and look at iNotes when it first came out, it was probably one of the world's broadest, most sophisticated Ajax-based applications when it came out, and it's continued to improve since then. Our latest portal product that we put out over the summer is fully Ajax-enabled and exploiting, right? Our new tools platforms, the new beta for Lotus Component Designer that's out on AlphaWorks is fully Ajax-enabled and allows you to build components that can be consumed into Notes 8, leveraging all the Ajax capabilities that you would want to be able to put into the components you want to include. Right, we continue to extend the Domino model, as we talked about. You'll see as you play with the Notes 8 release, you'll start to see all the flyover capabilities and pop-ups and stuff that you would expect from Ajax class applications. So, I wouldn't say that we've rewritten everything according to this new religion, we're certainly exploiting it and continue to exploit it where it makes sense to create the best user experience. Right, there's never a panacea. Any new programming technology that comes along is never the answer to everything. They all have appropriate uses. And Ajax, we think, provides a very appropriate set of characteristics that really enhance the user experience of the environment.
Okay. Now on the client side of things, are those Ajax capabilities going to be available in the Notes client as well as on the web?
As you build out components that come into the Notes client using things like Component Designer, yeah, you can start to include those capabilities.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. Now, and of course, there's this this X form.
Well, one of the things that you should just to point out on that,
yeah, sure,
is that in Expediter, which is the underlying framework for that, you've got the ability to have web components actually be part of the UI as well, right?
Oh, okay.
So one of the if you have a composite application built in Notes 8, one of the components that's in that UI could actually be a web component, not just a client side component.
Okay, so
we have the ability to run those web components in the client itself.
Okay, so there's a much larger blurring of lines, I guess.
When I think about it, if you go back to the outside in comments I made earlier, when you think about it from an end user viewpoint, they don't care what the programmers used.
Right.
Right. It's, do I get the capability I want? And again, what I'm trying to do here is create the widest possible community of developers around this new release, right, by embracing all of the open standards that are becoming, as you could say, religious in the marketplace,
right?
By extending the programming model in Notes to the largest possible programming base, I think we're creating an unstoppable force here. Right. It's been a while since we've really started to deliver a lot of new capabilities for programmers, right? And we're doing this in a way that the traditional Notes base and the Notes programmers feel very comfortable in the environment. But I want to make it just as comfortable for web-based programmers or even .NET-based programmers to live within this world as well.
Okay. Now, and in terms of integrating other technologies, I know one of the things that happened, I think, right around the time that you became general manager was the PureEdge acquisition.
Yep.
And so, XForms, and there have been a lot of talk about XForms about a year ago, and that I didn't know if that was something that was also going to be potentially available or on the radar for us Notes people.
Yeah, I think the best way to think about it is what we've spent the last year doing since the PureEdge acquisition is really getting... the standards were just getting ratified over the course of the last year, and really getting our official standards ratified versions out in the market. The PureEdge code has been rebranded Workplace Forms, and getting the integration kits, as we call them, in place that allow you to integrate with the various runtimes that exist, as well as just the straight web-based toolkits that were there. So one of the demonstrations we've shown is how you can actually run XForms right within the Notes client. So you'll see us continue to bring XForms more and more into the Notes world as we go forward. We think this idea of a open standard around XForms technology is really going to start to break open this concept of true electronic business forms that we've been talking about for over 20 years. We think, with a true standard, there's a shot that we can really make some good progress now. All right, so you'll see us integrating it pretty much across the board.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about where WebSphere and Domino integration are going to be going in the future. Are there some planned integration points or convergence of those two technologies, Mike?
Well, I mean, you got to be careful when you get into apples and oranges comparisons like that. They're different. They're different products with different capabilities, right? So, and this, as you know, this has been one of those confusion points that has really existed over the last few years in the market. Domino is not going anywhere, right? Domino is a is a very successful, widely adopted server product that provides enormous value to some of the largest corporations in the world, right? So our focus is to figure out how to extend the value of those Domino environments into this emerging service-oriented world, mm-hmm. right? So it's the concept of service-oriented architectures and how Domino applications can be exposed as services that can then be consumed on a service-oriented in a service orientation and service-oriented applications. So what we've been really doing, if you really step back from the day-to-day fray and look at what's gone on around Domino and the programming model, the first step was to surface web services as an access point to and from Domino applications so that Domino can exist as a first-class citizen in a service-oriented architecture, mm-hmm. right, and expose its applications in a way that can be understood by other types of programs that might exist in that service-oriented architecture, like WebSphere-based applications.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so WebSphere is a brand. Domino is a product. WebSphere is a brand. Right, so you have to be a little bit careful in the comparison.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably 20 or 30 different WebSphere based products that are part of our overall WebSphere portfolio. One of the most important of which in my world is WebSphere Portal, because that's one I'm also responsible for. And as we go forward, and as I talked about at Lotusphere, we are very much focused on continuing much tighter integration between WebSphere Portal and Domino.
Mm-hmm.
Right, everything from common mail portlets that run within the Portal framework that connect seamlessly into the Domino mail environments to leveraging the composite application models that exist in Portal and allowing those to project to richer client environments through Expediter and Hanover, and really trying to simplify Portal for the Notes and Domino user base, right? There was always Domino was an elegantly simple product from not simple but not simplistic. Simple product from the point of admin, install, config. It was easy to get up and running. People could deploy applications very quickly. And I think fair criticism of my WebSphere Portal product is it was more complex. Right? It was a different paradigm, different design points, and the two paradigms. We're somewhat different between the user bases. So we've been doing a lot of work over the last year to make it much simpler around install, admin, and management of the portal, from a Domino-centric viewpoint, making it simpler and simpler for people who want to use some of the advanced features that we have in our portal technologies in a Domino environment, making it easier and easier to run those environments. So, yeah, we're going to do a lot more integration between Portal and Domino in that case. But the overall WebSphere and Domino integration is really along the open standards front around this idea of service-oriented architectures.
Okay, and I think another thing that has been talked about quite a bit, especially in terms of the future Notes and WebSphere pieces, is Activity Explorer.
Right.
Which is, even beyond some kind of higher-level integration that the developers can access, then suddenly there's going to be this Activity Explorer product, which is, again, blurring the lines. It's kind of reaching into a lot of different things. And one of the questions that we were asked and we didn't know the answer to and thought we should ask you is in terms of the Activity Explorer offering, is that something that's going to be sort of an add-on for Domino? Or an add-on for WebSphere Portal, or is it its own product, or how is the marketing around that?
Yes, and yes is going to be the right way to think about it, right? So, The key thing here is that the activity-centric computing model that we surfaced about 2 years ago when we first started showing off Activity Explorer and then shipping it earlier this year, the Activity Explorer, when we first put it in place, we were pretty clear as, you know, this was a new paradigm, this was a new way of working. It was really about organizing your work around your activities as opposed to around your tools, right? So really, becoming almost, one way to think of it in a newer sense is more of a mashup across all the different tools you use to bring together the information that's associated with the business activity that you're involved in. As we go forward with this, we learned a lot from the early Activity Explorer work. We've learned a lot from early customer trials, and you'll see us doing some pretty exciting things around this idea of activity-centric computing and where the whole activity paradigm is going. I don't want to give away too much ahead of time, but you can rest assured that this is an idea that has been exploding in the labs. A lot of really cool stuff coming.
All right.
You'll be able to, the way to think about it is, again, back to this idea of service-oriented architectures, is these things are all services, right? And as a service, they can be accessed and used from pretty much anywhere, right? And we'll have specific, as we've shown in some of the Hanover visuals, right? We'll have specific on-ramps from things like Notes 8. We'll have on-ramps from things like SameTime. So that you can access these new services from any tool that you want, as opposed to having to leave the environment you're in and go there. Right, so I think the early criticisms we had on Activity Explorer were around it being a walled garden environment where everything had to move into the Activity Explorer. We took that criticism to heart, and we've started to invert the model so that it's a wide-open environment as opposed to a closed environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I really look forward to seeing taking a closer look at it, Lotusphere. As far as the DB2 backend data storage option for Domino, which I think is available right now, is a... I forgot the term given for it, but you have to apply through Lotus to get it. Does Lotus plan on providing the DB2 backend data storage in Notes Domino 8 as a real part of Domino 8?
Yeah, we're going to continue the support that we have in place. The key thing about the relational data store capabilities under Domino in 7 is that it really works well for certain classes of applications, mm-hmm. right? But when you marry things like this together, in other applications you also can pay a penalty, mm-hmm. right? So the reason we've been very prescriptive with clients around how they use it and why we're offering this registration process is we're still in the early stages of looking for the usage patterns and figuring out the best practices around it. And we thought it prudent to work with clients directly as opposed to potentially let them stumble as they go through it. So it's less about, trying to restrict people and more about being prescriptive with prospective users to make sure they understand the types of usage scenarios that they'd see great advantage out of versus the ones that they wouldn't. So, for example, clients who have very large notes applications that have, amazing amounts of record-level data, having that data in a relational data store gives you a lot of new capabilities, right? And with the extension of the notes programming model, so you can use SQL commands directly in the notes, you can start to take advantage of that capability. So you can start to, say, for example, join two data sets, right? That mm-hmm. Before you'd have to write the code yourself in the notes application to join them. Having the data structures do that. Those kind of things are very useful on a relational data store. But when you talk about straight mail processing, there are more performant ways to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I think that the key here is helping our clients recognize when you should use what.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we're going to continue down that process. right? And as we move forward into new technologies in the database world around XML data stores, you know, I think this continues to evolve. This story is in its early stages as opposed to later stages.
All right. I think we have a couple more questions. Julian?
So we've covered Domino with WebSphere, Domino with DB2. Are there some plans for tying the Lotus offerings back into the Rational and Tivoli sides of the house?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, right, Expeditor is an Eclipse-based client technology. Expeditor is the foundation of the Notes 8 client and the SameTime client. It's also the foundation of our Rational-based tools. I think you're going to see, I think it's safe to say, that you will see more and more integration across the various software group offerings over time, right? There's logical things that you would expect to kind of see, right? I mean, integration between same time or usage of same time in different contexts, in systems management contexts or application development contexts, et cetera, are pretty natural extensions that you would think through. Right, so I think you'll see more. And if you're watching what we've been doing with the evolution of the new Lotus Designer capabilities, you notice those are Eclipse-based tools. The new Workplace Forms Designer is an Eclipse-based tool. We get enormous advantage in reusing capabilities from tool to tool as we do that, sharing code back and forth with our colleagues down the street in Rational. And remember, we're only 12 miles apart. the Rational team is really just down 225 from the Westford lab. So there's a lot of synergy going on there. And you'll see more. Right? We, as a software business in IBM, we are very focused on this concept of componentization and definition of services and open APIs built around open standards to allow us to reuse capabilities across all elements of the portfolio.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to skip around here, Julian. One of the fun new things that came out with the recent 7.02 release of Note was the Notes on a Stick or Nomad option for USB thumb drives. Will we also be able to run Hanover on a stick? Will it be multi-platform? Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll continue. We think it's a cool idea, right? The key issue is, our competitors' offerings are very tied to specific operating systems and registries, et cetera. And, we thought about it and said, if you think about Notes users, they're on the go, right? And being able to take both your client and its data on the go with you and plug in is a useful tool. And it really kind of struck home after the recent terrorist breakup in London when people were not able to carry their laptops on the plane anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For a while, a lot of companies, because they didn't want their laptops checked, people were traveling naked. Right, no technology.
What airline was that?
Right. Well, yeah, I know it's poor choice of terms. But,
very descriptive.
Naked air. Okay.
Right, but a lot of people felt that way. I ran into colleagues that said they were traveling with a laptop for the first time in a decade.
Wow.
One of the things that the Nomad capability would allow is it's on your keychain. Right. You can plug into any computer, and if you have your VPN client on the Nomad as well, you can plug in, connect, and off you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a useful concept for certain classes of users.
And we covered in episode 34 of the podcast all of the new 7.02 features as part of the feature pack that came with 7.02. So, Julian, take her away.
Right. Well, and then another thing that just came out recently is that Linux client. And yep. I've been a Linux user on my desktop here at home for a couple of years. Okay, since we have, really the man in charge here, was the push behind the Linux client, was that just some overwhelming customer demand? Was it just you wanted to push Linux as a platform and so, hey, what a great way to do it? Or, we're building this Eclipse client anyway, so heck, why not just throw it on Linux? What was the driving force behind that?
Yeah, I think the simplest way to look at it is we have a cross-platform software strategy, and we're applying that to the client space as well. We have clients that are Linux-based and wanted a Linux solution as they're looking at, you know, different classes of things. You know, one was a company called Pioneer Petroleum up in Ontario, where they were putting Linux-based solutions into, you know, some of their retail outlets. They wanted to use Linux there, and by having a Linux-based client, it allowed them to, you know, to execute on that. We have, you know, other places where people are building what I would call fixed function terminal kind of systems, where whether it's branch banking or, you know, call center kind of applications, where they were, you know, they're not going to let the users get beyond the boundaries of the client. Right, so they wanted to use a Linux kernel for the operating system. So there was an increasing customer demand, and as a Linux user yourself, you know that with the new offerings that are coming out, you know, for example, I just saw the SUSE SLED 10 offering and all the advanced graphics capability in that. That the Linux has come a long way as a desktop operating system.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I said that they were 2 to 3 years away from getting, you know, really credible and competitive on the desktop, and I think I was about right on the timing. So I think as we get into next year, we're going to see things get a little more interesting. And I think the, you know, the recent resurgence of Mac has made a pretty big difference in the market. You know, and you know, as you know, at Lotusphere last year, we showed. We showed Lotus on our notes on the Mac, and we showed that we're putting same time on the Mac. So those projects are moving along quite nicely right now. In fact, my my travel machine right now is a Mac, right, with the technology on it.
Mm-hmm. I'm also running the beta, and so far so good.
Yep, it's you know, it's about time, right, that we up-leveled our capability on the Mac. And my goal on this is I want to get to the same level of cross-platform support on the clients that I've had on servers for a while, which is consistent, if not equivalent, end-user function on those clients. Right? I think it delivers the most choice and flexibility for our customers. I think it's a competitive differentiator for us because, you know, it's pretty clear that my my competitor so far isn't that focused on being cross-platform. So I think it's a good opportunity for us as well, right? And we're designing our architectures in a way that we can do it in a cost-effective manner because we've got this Expediter platform underneath us that that becomes an insulating layer from the underlying operating system.
You're not going to jump out on stage at Lotusphere in like an Expediter costume, like a superhero,
well,
like.
Yeah, some of my predecessors have done some interesting things. I believe it was John Landry that came out of the ceiling in a Spider-Man outfit. You won't be seeing that.
I think Al Zoller was Batman. Was I think that was Al.
The team I think knows me well enough to not propose. I think we've got some really great stuff in store for everybody at Lotusphere this year. So and as you know, we don't really tell anybody ahead of time what we're going to do. So I'm not going to disclose any of the specifics. I know that's what you want me to do, but
we'll just edit some in.
Can we start rolling?
Edit them in. You can always do, you know, post-history editing.
Yeah, because you know, I heard that the comedian this year is going to be Tickle Me Elmo. So I'll start that rumor.
As with every Lotusphere, there's going to be a lot of rumors running up right to the date. You know, I think we surprised a lot of people last year with the how strong we came out in the same time space in January, and I think it's important for everybody to note that we delivered on what we said we were going to deliver on.
Mm-hmm.
The capabilities are out there, right? Same time, and really the importance about same time as a client wasn't that we put a new UI on the instant messaging client and on the web conferencing client. It's that we now have an open standards-based programming model that allows you to build unified communication and collaboration applications that leverage some of these new capabilities like, real-time connections, location-based access, and presence information within the context of the application and the business problem you're trying to solve. So I think we've opened up a whole new can of worms in the real-time space with the shipment of same-time 7.5.
Wow. Now, and more to come. On the client side, and you mentioned Expediter before as sort of the underlying technology for a lot of this stuff. Is it fair to say that we're going to have the same time client on this technology, the notes client on this technology, the rational tools on this technology? I mean, is that just the one global client that we'll be running everything on now?
Well, it's really hard to ever talk in absolutes like that because new technologies come along all the time. I prefer to think of this more in terms of client experiences that you're trying to deliver. Right, and in the market right now, there's really four models that you have to think through when you're talking about delivering services to end users. One of the models is the model that Expediter supports, which is rich client applications that run on either desktops or mobile devices. But Expediter goes into smartphone PDA class devices as well. And the second one is really the portal centric or composite kind of applications, where components are delivered in kind of an aggregate form through the web through a browser. I think probably the most emergent space has been the Web 2.0 style mashup UI, right, with certain new programming model characteristics that I think are very appealing to classes of users around tagging and feeds and structures on that. So, I really think you have to separate the user interface layer from the services layer. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to deliver a set of services. And then we're going to make those services accessible from the appropriate client experiences for the end user audiences we're going after, right? And that's really how we're trying to come at it. So people want to get at mail in different ways, whether they want it to have it be a portlet in their portal, or whether they want to have an Ajax like web UI like DWA, or whether they want to have a rich client like Notes 8.
Mm-hmm.
What we are trying to do. And you'll see this if you look carefully at the Portal 6 shipment over the summer, the Expediter shipment that we just did, what you've seen about Notes 8 and same time, you've seen the introduction of a visual framework that demonstrates consistency of terminology, of gestures, of color schemes, etc., across all of the products. Right, so I think this is a departure from our history, where every Lotus product had a unique kind of look and feel.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we're moving into a world where we think consistency in the elements of the UI are something that our customers are looking for.
All right, we got a couple more questions here. Really, like three. So let me ask one of them here. The tagline for Lotusphere this year is helping businesses achieve operational efficiency through SOA, service oriented architecture. Can you tell us more about what that means, Mike?
Well, it's an interesting question because we haven't announced any themes about Lotusphere yet. So
that's from the webpage.
That's from the webpage,
right.
Actually.
Right. The themes from Lotusphere will become more apparent as we get closer to Lotusphere.
All right.
As they always do.
Okay.
We have been focused on organizations becoming more efficient, right, through organizational productivity as an overall mission of what Lotus does for three or four years now, right, and that's going to continue. But as we really get close to Lotusphere this year, you'll see the final theming as it comes out. Now, SOA is something I've been talking about throughout the mission as an overlying or an overarching theme that everybody in IBM is paying a lot of attention to, because it's really a unification theme of both the market and the trends in the market and the trends of how our company actually works and goes to market. So SOA is something that we view as an important issue. It's something that we think clients really resonate with. It's all about leveraging the value of your existing investments in new and innovative ways by allowing you to access services that you already have very quickly in changing business processes, and to react as the market reacts. As the market changes, you can react very, very quickly simply by reconfiguring the particular combination of services that you want to instantiate that process. Right? But, you know, our viewpoint on that is, you know, one of the most important entry points to any service-oriented architecture is people, right, and how people interact with these processes and these services. And that's really the role that that Lotus and my team plays within the overall IBM architecture.
Yeah, well, and as a matter of fact, our first podcast about a little over a year ago was on web services and service-oriented architecture and Domino.
Mm-hmm. And that was a year ago last week. And Mike, if you don't know, Julian is actually the king of everything web services, Notes, and Domino. He's got an article. He's got an article on DeveloperWorks Part 1 of 3 right now, and he is the man. So, Julian, take the next question.
Okay. Well, I guess let's throw out a crystal ball question then. So SOA is the big picture right now. We've got web services, SOA, and everything is connected. Everything's talking to each other, and we have this AJAX and browsers and rich clients. And after everything is connected and everything is using these tool sets and can talk to each other, that's not the end of the line for enterprise software. What's the big wave that's coming?
Well, I mean, you're exactly right. The SOA wave is really about enabling the infrastructure to be much more adaptive and flexible, right? Once you have an adaptive, flexible infrastructure, what do you do with it, right? And that really gets into the idea of how do you being able to reconfigure the business to fit changing market dynamics very quickly. The role that I take in all of this or play in all this is, how can I enable line of business users to quickly reconfigure those processes visually, right? And how to put together the composite applications that that really solve the business problem that's surfaced, right? Real time, right? So it's not about putting requests into the IT organization for the application they'd like them to deliver next year. It's about my shipping routes have just completely changed because someone bought somebody else, right? How do I reconfigure my business tomorrow? Right, that's the whole idea of business flexibility that we're trying to get to. I think my role in all of this and my team's role in all of this is how do we make the user experience of all this actually consumable, right, by mere mortals? Right? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to hire an army of people to come in and manage this. You should be able to manage your business. So, from a future viewpoint, I think as an industry, not just IBM, consumability is one of our biggest biggest challenges going forward. Making the software simpler, not more complex. Mm. Right? It's often harder to make something simple than it is to make it complex.
All right, wrapping things up here, Mike, and I think you already touched on this already. Any big surprises coming in Lotusphere, at Lotusphere in January, you can give us some hints about?
Well, I think you would expect to hear more about Notes 8, right, as it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You could expect that given our focus on the real-time space that there'll be new stuff coming in that space. And, you've seen us talking about this emerging area around social computing, social networking software. You'll see more.
Okay. Well, on behalf of Julian, the Lotus community, and myself, we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to sit down with us and create this is our one-year anniversary podcast. Anything you need to ask us, Mike?
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations on the one-year anniversary.
Thank you.
Right.
I think it's great that you guys are doing this, and maybe we can do this again sometime.
We can
get together in the spring after Lotusphere and talk about how you think we did.
Oh, that hey, sounds that sounds yeah. good. Maybe we could do that at Lotusphere.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Thanks again, and thanks again to everyone for tuning in to episode 35 of the Taking Notes podcast.